This is Sightlines with Cameron Lohman and Ben Price with a special electoral report.
Hello, this is Cameron Lohman and Ben Price, Sightlines' chief political correspondent. Welcome to a very special series of Sightlines where we get political about our art. We're in the full throes of municipal electoral campaigns right across Alberta. Here in Lethbridge, we have 3 mayoral candidates and 29 vying for seats on council.
With all those platforms and political promises out there, it can be hard to keep everything straight. Cameron and I will be speaking to candidates about their platforms and how they might affect the arts scene and youth of Lethbridge.
For today's special political report, we're joined by incumbent Mayor Chris Spearman. Good morning, Mr. Spearman. Thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for taking the time to call me.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks.
Just jumping into this, tell us a bit about yourself and maybe why you're running for this position again and maybe why you've run in the past.
Sure. Well, I have quite a varied experience. So I have 38 years of business experience. So I worked in the private sector before I became mayor 4 years ago. I had served 6 terms on the Holy Spirit Roman Catholic School Board. So 18 years of elected public service from 1992 to 2010. I've been actively involved in community organizations like the Rehabilitation Society of Southwestern Alberta, the Aboriginal Housing Society, the Lethbridge Chamber of Commerce, and I was a founding member of the Industrial Association of Southern Alberta back in 1983. I've served as the chairman for a dozen years of that organization. I've also was a founding member of Economic Development Lethbridge back in 2003 and served on that organization for 5 years on the executive. So I'm very focused on economic development, and I really think that's part of the secret to our city's growth and going forward. Mm-hmm. For the first time ever, we have $1 billion in total investment happening in our city. And some great project announcements. We were successful in attracting Cavendish Farms to build their new state-of-the-art potato processing facility here. That's a $360 million investment by itself. Hmm. And, you know, our city has a great reputation for being business-friendly and attracting investors. So we also have some significant social problems. We have high rates of poverty. I think it's 1 in 5 children in the city live below the poverty line. So it's important to promote economic development so people have opportunity. And, of course, we're next to the 2 largest indigenous reserves. And the motto of our city, translated from the Latin, is gateway to opportunity or opportunity for all. And one of the things I struggle with, I think about Martin Luther King back in 1963 saying, "I have a dream where all people are equal, all have equal opportunity." And when we think back, you know, almost 6 decades since he said that famous speech, we really haven't made a lot of progress in this area. We still have issues with racism. Our Indigenous people have higher rates of unemployment, higher rates of homelessness, and other social issues like that. So if we can solve that by shared economic development opportunities, promoting employment, trying to get people involved in the workforce, and being self-sustaining, that would be tremendous. So the other thing I like to do is advocacy. So when I served on the school board, I took an interest in the capital project program. I lived through the Klein funding freeze for capital, and then towards the end of that, we realized that we had an infrastructure deficit. Our schools hadn't been really renovated or improved for 50 years. The schools were built after the Second World War were largely, they had minimal improvements. Mm. We had 13 schools, and I was successful while I was serving there with my colleagues to get 5 brand new schools for our school division and 5 major renovations. So total investment of $150 million at that time. Wow. In schools in this area. So I think some of that experience has really helped me as I've come in basically off the street and began serving as mayor as our city council 4 years ago. So I think it's unusual that someone would come in and win without serving at least a term or two on city council. So, right. But I think we've had one of the most productive terms of any city council in recent years in terms of getting things done. Mm-hmm.
That's all really great. Some of those things I'd never heard, but it's all great. One of the things that Cam and I focus on this podcast is the arts and the youth in the community.
Yep.
So we're interested in things surrounding that sort of stuff in Lethbridge. And we know that the design and planning phase for a new performing arts facility have been brought forward to council in the past.
Yep.
Is this something you were in favor of being built
yes.
in the city? Yeah, that, okay.
Yeah, we voted for it in the capital plan. So mm-hmm. they now have $6 million to go ahead and do the design, which is about 8% of the final construction cost.
Mm-hmm.
But the next time that the capital improvement plan comes up for debate, they will have a solid plan that they can bring forward and say, this is what we'd like to get funded. Then the challenge is how to fund it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Lethbridge has a very strong arts and culture community.
Mm-hmm.
We have a wonderful facility we call CASA, which is really a facility for artists. And it's a partnership with the university. So the university professors teach courses to kids, you know, music instruction courses and other forms of art instruction. There's a weaving guild in there. There's a place for painters. There's a place for sculptors. For pottery. There's a kiln there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really is a facility for artists, and it's a public facility. It's right in their downtown. It's right next to our Gulf Gardens public square. The university, one of its strengths is fine arts. And so we're seeing a lot of public performances, opera performances. Lethbridge sustains a symphony orchestra, mm-hmm. which is pretty good for a community of 100,000.
Yeah.
And, of course, we have a college and a university which have a very big impact on the city. So in terms of the student involvement here all year long. So, of course, our college just opened up a $66 million trades renovation, so we have some of the state-of-the-art trades and technologies being taught in the city of Lethbridge now, so who wouldn't want to come here and go to the college if you're interested in a mm-hmm. trades future? We have large numbers of apprentices, and they're supported by the local employment community. I think the college had a fundraising program, and the goal was $25 million, and they actually raised $27.8 million. The possibilities are in this program. And we saw small electrical houses and small machinists donating their $200,000, you know, towards the program. They have a lot of confidence in the work at the college. Of course, the university is consistently rated as one of the top 5 undergraduate universities in Canada for going back about half a dozen years in the Maclean's poll
mm-hmm.
every year. So highly rated university, strong faculties in not only fine arts, but also in education, in management, and the sciences. We're building a $260 million science building. So that's great that so the wonderful investment that's happening in education continues in the city, and great opportunities for students from all over to come here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's fantastic. I did have a question about the funding for the fine arts facility.
Yep.
Now, I believe in 2021, the Municipal Sustainment Initiative is expiring, and yep. I don't know if there has been a replacement or an extension put in place as of yet. Do you know, so if this funding isn't as great as we thought it was, or do you know where we would be pulling funds for?
Yeah, that would be a challenge. Municipalities depend heavily on MSI to assist them with their capital funding. You know, the things that make life pleasant in communities, things that attract people here. We have a special little city. We have a lot of features, but we need that MSI. We need, and so I lobby the provincial government consistently with other municipalities around the province to say there has to be a program after MSI is complete. You know, there needs something, we call it son or daughter of MSI, but there needs to be a continuing program so that municipalities can plan for things like fine arts facilities.
Yeah, because the city received approximately $21 million from MSI last year. Yeah, or
that's right. Yeah, so we would accumulate those funds for several years, and then we could, you know, you really can't build much for anything under $50 million these days. I think our fine arts performing arts facility would probably cost something in the range of $75 million. So we'd have to accumulate 3 or 4 years worth of money to fund a project of that magnitude.
Yeah, cause, yeah, from 2022 to 2027 is around $70.5 million, which is $14 million a year, which is a lot.
Considerable reduction. So
absolutely.
We have to recognize, you know, funding at the municipal level generally, you know, when you look other than health and education, you can see the money spent a lot easier. It doesn't wind up a lot in bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. You know, we do a lot of things to save money. We maintain our infrastructure with our own dollars for the most part. And we have high quality infrastructure in the city of Lethbridge. So our roads are generally in good shape. And our water and sewer, which is funded from a different source, of course, from billings to customers, but that is generally in good shape as well. So by maintaining our infrastructure, we don't waste a lot of money down the road saying, okay, we need a new water treatment plant, or we need, you know, we keep maintaining it and we keep it up to state-of-the-art conditions to make sure that we don't incur those other costs. We want to invest in quality of life, but we also maintain our infrastructure so that we can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just have a follow-up now that you're bringing up maintaining infrastructure. Now, the Yates Theater is currently going under a $13 million renovation through the city. How do you talk to people about the Performing Arts Center and also with us spending $13 million on the Yates?
Well, the Yates is an asset that needs to be maintained. You can, it'll give us, you know, additional venues. The problem is the bookings right now are for the different theaters around town. Basically, everything's booked up. So we need another facility. And if we're going to invest in another facility, you know, we have to maintain the Yates, so it'll still be able to cater to shows that don't require a high level of sophistication in terms of sound, you know, just great performances, general entertainment, those types of things. But I think what the city would like to have is something that is special for performing arts, where you have great acoustics and you can attract higher levels of entertainment to the city. So providing, adding to what we already have, if you like. But before, I guess the general principle is, before you add to what you already have, you have to maintain what you have already.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I'm totally on board for all that. I just like to hear your perspective on it.
We want to make sure that the community facilities can also be used by the community. So if you know, if a high school production needs to happen downtown for a week or two, there's a facility for that too, or other forms of community use. We've got a couple of local theater groups. They need to have a facility. So that's the role that the Yates plays.
So that actually ties into the question I had. I'd hope that the design I haven't seen any of the designs for the new facility, but I would hope that there's some thought going into what types of groups can tour here, because I know that's a big issue for Lethbridge, that groups like Cirque du Soleil have a hard time coming here, or groups like bigger concerts have a hard time coming here. Is that something that thought that's gone into the design of the new facility?
All of that is being contemplated, and we are consulting with people in the business Ron Sakamoto puts on a lot of concerts across North America. Mm-hmm. He's been involved in, we're trying to get, the size of the facility in terms of the audience is something we have to think about. Mm-hmm. And, the fact that it'll be a facility that'll be used for, decades afterwards, right, once it's built. So that kind of thinking is going into the money that we've given to the performing arts community for planning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
I'm very confident they'll do a good job.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure they will.
Yeah, we're very excited, to say the least.
Yeah. Another thing that I've heard come up in terms of culture, not only within the city but outside as well, is the idea of the sister city within Canada. Mm-hmm. Lethbridge is the only city, I understand, that maintains its formal relationship with its twin city in Quebec.
That's right. The ones that were created in 1967.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had a twinning relationship with Saint-Laurent, mm-hmm. and we continue that. We send citizens every year to Saint-Laurent for a cultural experience, and in return they send citizens back to Lethbridge. There's usually at least half a dozen going each year, and we've had that since 1967. It was heartwarming to see the celebrations in both cities of that 50th anniversary and have the people who've participated over the years come out and say what it meant to them.
Yeah.
And the fact that those relationships that were created on those visits were sustained and maintained, that people had friends. And I have one of the presenters in Saint-Laurent when it was there in August was formerly a citizen of Lethbridge, and he now lives in East Montreal. He was unilingually English when he went there in 1968, mm-hmm. and he's now living in East Montreal, which is a very French area. Mm-hmm. And he came and presented and said, this exchange was a catalyst in my life. It opened me up to new opportunities. And mm-hmm. it's great to see that. There was a lady who came who was 96 who had participated 30 years ago.
Oh, wow.
As a senior, and so impressive to hear her talk so eloquently about what a great experience it was for her to come from Saint-Laurent to Lethbridge, right? Mm-hmm. And it was tremendous. And almost everybody who initiated that were back in 1967. None of them were bilingual. So the folks in Lethbridge were unilingually English, and the ones in Saint-Laurent were unilingually French, and it worked, mm-hmm. So I have to tip my hat to the folks that kicked it off and stuck with it, right?
Sure.
The other thing that's really cool about the exchange is both communities exchange artwork each year. So Saint-Laurent brings us a gift of art, and we take a gift of art to Saint-Laurent when our delegation goes there. Mm-hmm. And this year for the 50th, we agreed to step it up, and each community donated to the other a sculpture. Mm-hmm. So this is not small change. This is $250,000 budget.
Yeah.
They will get a sculpture donated by the city of Lethbridge, mm-hmm. of two coyotes looking to the west. And it's going to be placed in a park right outside of their busiest metro station. And so you come out of the metro station, you will see this beautiful piece of public art. And their public art, which is some geese towing a rock with ropes flying through the air, is going to be placed in Nikiyuko Japanese Gardens just out in Henderson Park, mm-hmm. just outside of Nikiyuko. And that's our busiest tourist destination, of course. Mm-hmm. So that's fantastic that those two sculptures will have high-profile locations in each city and commemorate the 50th anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, the thing that I was the thing that I've been hearing is why would we continue to maintain such a relationship? But I mean, you've described several reasons now that makes sense to do that sort of thing with another city within the country. Of course, I mean, to maintain a relationship like that culturally and personally, it's good. I think it's good for both.
For the young people who participate, because every second year it's students, so they're usually between about 16 and 18 years of age. And I think if they've always lived in Lethbridge and they get a chance to go to Saint-Laurent and see the city of Montreal, they almost always include a tour of Quebec City as well as part of the week-long exchange. With, and they're paired with French-speaking family, get to live in a French-speaking house. And that's you know, can you imagine for a 16 or 18-year-old kid who's always lived in Lethbridge, what an impact that'll have on their life?
For sure.
That's, you know, I commend everyone and encourage everyone who participates. You know, it's just it's an experience that you should take. Tremendous.
Absolutely. No, that's fantastic. It's one of those programs that you hear a lot about, but don't necessarily understand all the time. Yeah. So it's great to see that insight for that. That's awesome. Thank you. Now we kind of have a bit of a shifting gears here. So, we talked about the city's growth, where we experienced about 2% from the last census in growth, which made us the fifth fastest growing city in Canada. So how do you think Lethbridge is going to be able to maintain and continue to attract and retain young and growing families in the future?
I think the answer to that is economic development. And what we have is steady growth. And I tell people, you know, it's an average growth of 2% a year. So in a good year, we grow by 2%. And in a bad year, we grow by 2%. That's basically, we're steady. And we don't have the ups and downs like cities that are based on the oil economy. Our diversified economy protects us from a lot of the swings. So when you have net oil and natural gas prices surging, you see some communities growing by 5% and 10%. It's really hard to sustain the infrastructure under that kind of a boom. It's much easier for us to plan and grow at it when we know that it's always going to be 2%. And, you know, when it comes to planning for infrastructure in the city of Lethbridge, the water lines and the sewer lines, you know, we have to be careful that we don't try to grow in too many directions at once, because that's expensive. But we need to grow contiguously to existing development, and we need to do it in a planned manner. But at a 2% growth rate, you know, it's not going to cause us any grief. But, you know, if we were going to have a huge boom in population, that would be problematic for us. You know, how do we accommodate that, invest it all so that people can arrive here and live here in the community? Because I think we saw up in Fort McMurray, and that's a great city. I'm not criticizing that. But if you go back about 10 years, you know, people were spending half a million dollars to buy a trailer and locate it on a piece of land. You know, there was virtually no accommodation, and things were getting very expensive for anybody who wanted to move to Fort McMurray. We don't have those kind of problems.
And yeah, absolutely.
It also allows us to plan communities very well. So one of the things I'm proud of our city is that we have more maintained park space per capita than any other city in Canada. So wherever you live in the city of Lethbridge, you're usually within walking distance of a park, you know, what, within one or two blocks of where you live, you know. And we have some really good large parks in our city, Nicholas Sharon Park, Henderson Lake, and soon Legacy Park in North Lethbridge. These are huge parks where people can go and, you know, have great quality of life. And then we've got 10 parks in the River Valley.
Yeah, you know, it is definitely one of those things. When I moved to Lethbridge from BC, that really stood out to me was how much green space there is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we need to remind people, you know, the parks, we want people to use the parks, but we also want them to respect the parks and the environment as well. Mm-hmm. So we're tightening things up in terms of access for recreational vehicles. We want people who are cyclists, you know, to make sure that they're staying on the paths and those types of things. We want to make sure we have the respect for what we have, and so we can maintain it so others can enjoy it for years to come.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Perfect. Well, thank you for that.
One follow-up thing there with the maintaining. I know a couple months ago, maybe it was longer than that, there was a problem in the river bottom, and the solution to the problem was to remove bushes. Is that still going ahead? Is that happening?
Yes, we mainly it's a drug problem. Mm-hmm. And if people can hide in the bushes, it's. But we are there. It's going ahead with a planned approach,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the bushes that are being removed are not necessarily native bushes,
right?
You know, so we don't have much grief about doing that, but we want to make sure that again safety is an issue for. We want to make sure that people feel comfortable going into the park and they're not subtly surprised that somebody emerges from the bushes or something.
Right.
Or in a, you know, so it is part of our safe and caring community initiative to try to make sure that we address issues promptly as they arise.
Mm. Yeah, that all makes sense. I was just wondering, I hadn't heard anything about it in the past.
We've gone to other areas. The Civic Field downtown.
Mm-hmm.
We've taken out the bushes all around there too.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like you see more people using that area now as well.
Right. Yeah. So if they feel safer, if they have greater visibility, people mm-hmm. will use the place. Yeah, mm-hmm.
for sure. Well, that about brings us to the end of the interview. And if you have any closing remarks before we go, that would be great.
Well, I'm proud of our city. I think we have a very clean city. We're becoming more progressive. You didn't ask about curbside recycling, but we do have a plan to implement it. The pilot will start in 2018, and it'll be citywide in 2019. With blue bins and then green bins by 2021. It's not happening fast enough in my mind, but we are getting there.
At least it's happening.
Yeah, waste diversion is important. The city has to be a leader in that issue, and we will be. In terms of leading our own citizens, we've got lots of catching up to do in terms of what other communities are already doing in that area. I think we'll be the last city in Alberta to implement curbside recycling. But I guess we will benefit from what others have done who implemented before us. We'll learn from their mistakes and hopefully have a comprehensive program. So it's important to be a progressive, modern city that's attractive to others to come here. We do need to employ more graduates of our college and university, and the solution to that is economic development. So we hope that people will be proud of being Lethbridge and be proud of the fact that I think we have a great future, and I hope other people who live in the city feel the same way.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. I think we've learned a lot today, and it's great to hear that the city has been under some great stewardship for the past 4 years, and we wish you the best of luck in the coming election.
Well, it has been a team approach, and the way I've worked on a lot of committees, like Syrian refugees or harm reduction, those types of things, I've involved people from the community who are experts. I've involved Alberta Health Services, the police, fire and ambulance, Arches, our Lethbridge Immigrant Settlement Association of Lethbridge Family Services. So you talk with the experts. I'm not an expert in anything, but I know where the experts are. And if I can get a group of people helping me through an initiative, it makes bringing in refugees so much easier. Harm reduction and opioid abuse is a huge issue, and I need experts to help me through that one. Homelessness is a huge issue, and the other social issues that we have, poverty in our community, and we need to have good, strong strategies, and we need to have goal-oriented results to make sure that they're successful. So I appreciate everyone in the community that helps me and my council do a good job.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, and we wish you the best of luck in the coming days.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Well, that was really cool.
Yeah. I feel like he wanted us to ask about curbside recycling.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We ran out of time before we could.
Because it was a question. I did have it as a question. I didn't think we'd have time to talk about it. So,
but I'm glad he got his points in there because
for sure.
It is good to hear.
Yeah.
But no, it's interesting. You know, it's so funny. You don't always think of city councils being progressive or conservative in certain aspects. But it's nice to hear him say that we have to.
That's what they want.
Keep moving forward and. Mm-hmm. great. No, it's neat to hear, mm-hmm. especially coming from a incumbent mayor who has been in the thick of things for the past 4 years. And
yeah,
like he knows his stuff. That's mm-hmm. for sure.
It's got to be hard to stick to your points as well. If you're trying to be reelected and you know people have maybe changed views or different views now, it's hard to stick to your guns, and it's good to see that he is.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think if he gets back in, then Lethbridge will be under good stewardship. But mm-hmm. it'll be interesting to see what the other folks have to say.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of this one.
Again, yes. Here we are again.
Here we are. All right. Well, you've been listening to Sightlines with Cameron Lohman and Ben Price.
Thank you for listening to Sightlines Special Electoral Report with Cameron Lohman and Ben Price.